Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview and promote people who are making a positive difference in the world. My name's Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a motivational speaker, helping people to live positively with and through the many and varied challenges of life. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5, and being 50 now, that's 45 years, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, which makes me sound like a spider, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. And of course, anyone who knows me knows that despite those physical challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. So find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, T-A-L-L.com. My guest today is Alan Mayer, and he says that salespeople aren't born, they're made, and he makes them. Alan lives, eats, and breathes sales and combines over 20 years of experience in international sales and business development with the persuasion, psychology, and magic of NLP. By attending his training, you're sure to enjoy your time and receiving the most advanced sales knowledge available. He is a newly appointed president of the Sales Association Ontario Chapter and president of the International Association of NLP Sales Professionals, number 2 on the list of top 50 most influential people in sales lead management, one of the top 25 sales influencers for 2012, published authors of 5 sales titles, including my favorite, Selling for Introverts. He's a certified NLP trainer, licensed business coach, and certified sales professional. Whenever you need to sharpen your cold calling techniques or sales strategies, Alan will help you improve your business. You can visit his website, A-L-E-N, write that down. That's not always how people spell Alan. And then Mayer.com. You'll be on the website as well. Welcome to the show today, Alan.
Tom, thank you so much. Such a lovely introduction. I'm so honored to be on this call with you.
Wow. I appreciate you being with us. And, you know, Napoleon Hill's number 1 success principle is definiteness of purpose. And it sounds like with all these sales presidencies and titles, you've really found your definite purpose in sales, haven't you?
I am. I found my purpose, and I have to say I started selling 20 years ago. I was not planning to be in sales at all, but somehow I stick with industry, and you know, when you resist something and it always comes back, well, that's what happened to me. I was always trying not to be in sales, and I always end up in sales. So I gave up, and after I gave up on being in sales, I become a sales director, VP of sales, and so on and so on. So looks like I'm destined to be in sales.
And now what a lot of people don't always realize, when you get to where you are, that's a lot of titles to have. But think of the guy who's new in sales. You weren't always as good at sales and as knowledgeable as you are now. The first years, did you come by it naturally? Did you find that it was difficult for you? Because you talk about that book, Selling for Introverts. If you're an introvert and you're forced into sales, it can be uncomfortable.
Oh, God, no. No, I was never born to be in sales, and I'm not a person who will start to chit-chat easily with strangers, and that's one of the characteristics of introverts. So what happened to me, I was thrown into a cold water, and I needed to start selling, and subconsciously probably I learned that I needed to ask a lot of questions to understand my clients versus the standard salesperson who goes out and just talks and talks and talks and do the whole pitching thing, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. And you know how it works. When you start pitching and pitching and pitching, guess what? People stop listening to you. So I was not trained to sell big bulldozers and excavators and stuff like that. That was my first sales job. But I actually asked clients, why do they need this such a huge machine? What they would like to accomplish? What's their goal? How will that work? And a million different questions to understand the situation. And that was 20 years ago, before all the books are written about how you need to, you know, uncover clients' needs, how you need to ask many different questions, and what are the trigger events and stuff like that. So somehow I was just wondering how I can help someone. And that's how I started selling. And guess what? After a few months working in a big sales team, I was a top sales guy there.
Hard work, and it didn't come naturally.
No. I started reading about sales, and one of the first books was Napoleon Hill, as you mentioned. One of the first books. Yeah. And I read it, and, you know, I lived in Europe then. And in Europe, you know, everything that comes from U.S. or Canada, it's seen like, they just like to talk, and they're just mostly fluff, but not the real stuff in it. But I was surprised when I started reading Napoleon Hill, there was a message, real message in it for people all over the world.
Amen. Exactly. Now, Alan, two of the best salespeople I know, Tim Chim from New York and Miloš Bulatović from Montenegro, best salespeople I know, but when they came to, one came to the U.S., one came to Canada, their English wasn't perfect. And people can hear that you don't speak English like me. And so when you started, did you have that disadvantage as well as learning a whole new skill as well?
Well, I have to share a little bit about me. I started selling in Croatia. My mom is Croatian, my father is German. And I was actually, my first job was during the war in former Yugoslavia. And it helped that I know how to speak German because we were importing heavy equipment from Germany and selling it throughout the whole southeastern Europe. But I was actually, after doing that, I moved to Germany, and I was successful in Germany. And then 10 years ago, I moved to Canada. And, of course, English is my third language, so you can hear my accent. But the thing is, although I was not confident in my English knowing skills, the better thing was, and what helped me was my energy that I actually projected on each and every call. Because, and I believe, and everybody should believe in what they're selling. And this is a feature of all the introverts. They will never sell something they don't believe in. Extroverts, on the other hand, they see sales as a job. Today they can sell copy machines, tomorrow they can sell cars, next year they could sell something totally different. But with introverts, we need to appreciate what we are selling. We need to really believe in the benefits or in the company or in the management, and then we are able to sell. And people feel your energy even over the phone. So that was the secret of my success because I believed. And, you know, when you speak with somebody for the first time, it's not so crucial the words that you're using, but if you really sound like you know what you're doing, and that's what people appreciate.
Yes, yes. And the part about getting them to talk all the time and asking them all the questions, they eventually sell themselves.
It is, because if you don't understand what's the client's hot button, what's really motivates them to do things, how can you help them?
Right. And yeah,
you can uncover by asking questions, right? And I think, actually, I have to go back to Napoleon Hill. I quoted him in my previous book. It has a really maybe funny title, Selling is Better Than Sex. I quote, actually, Napoleon Hill, it's all about transferring the energy to your clients. It's nothing else. When you sell, if you're not able to transfer the energy and enthusiasm, people will never buy from you.
Right, right. And, wow, I hadn't realized that point about an introvert will not sell something they don't believe in. Whereas, when you said it, it comes to life, and I was like, wow, yeah, an extrovert, they could sell whatever. They're just in it to make a sale. It's like sports for them.
It is. And I'm saying this because introverts, and I'm an introvert, we strongly believe in relationships. And how can I sell something to you, manipulate you basically, to buy something from me, if I know we will never conduct a business down the road, right? So I don't want to sell something to you and you will never ever speak with me again. I want to build a relationship. We are in for long term. And introverts are always very, very prepared for whatever situation comes their way. And based on that experience, they start to learn and appreciate the product or service they are selling. And then they're able to match a fix with the need.
Nice. So why is it important if you're in sales, even if you're not in sales, it would be important to understand if you are an introvert or if you're an extrovert or if you're somewhere in between. And why is it important to understand that? Because it is very crucial, isn't it?
It is, Tom. That's a great question. Today's business culture is geared toward the go-getter, the team player, the networker, the entrepreneur, the leader. It's all about the power, getting ahead. I would say cutthroat competition, deals, leverage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it sounds like a recipe for success for the extrovert and total disaster for the introvert. But we can excel in this culture by using the power of our strengths. And this is where we should shine as introverts. This is what we need to use and utilize. We don't need to change. I actually witnessed recently a sales training where the manager, who was an extrovert, asked his top salespeople to change their behavior. And they said, you know, guess what? We are introverts and we are selling like crazies. Why should we change? Because we bring the results. And he understood at the end, he understood that it's not the personality, but it's the result that we are counting on. And if you are an introvert and if you understand what are your strengths and what are your fears, right? But what are your strengths, then you will bring the most, the best things to the company. And nobody can tell you then, you know what, you are an introvert or you're like this, so why are you always quiet or questions like that. You know that you have strengths. If you don't know what your strengths are, then you believe, I have to change my approach. I have to be more open. I have to do more chit-chat with my clients. I have to do this. I have to do that. So like adopting the extroverted culture or behavior. And
right.
That's not who you are. If you change your behavior, then you are no longer who you are. You don't bring the best to the company.
Exactly. And I would think also that if you're an introvert, I'm an introvert, so let's say for me, I think sometimes that a larger percentage of the population are extroverts than actually are. Because if you see me outside of my home, at church, at speaking, at work, I'm an extrovert. I'm not shy. I talk to people. I'm very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an introvert in reality, but outside the house I can look like an extrovert. And so I would think a lot of introverts think, wow, there's such a high percentage of those extroverts, I better start behaving like them. When, as you said, they could be generating just as good or even better results than an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens that they're a little bit more quiet and they like to do things their own way.
Well, I encourage people to understand. There are lots of different online tests. Or I encourage listeners to go to my blog where they could take a test. It's completely free, 12, 13 questions, to understand if you are leaning towards extrovert side or introvert side. Why is this important? Because then you will understand that being an introvert does not mean that you are shy. Does not mean you cannot do public speaking. But the biggest difference is the way how you recharge, the way how you communicate with people. I'll give you a few short examples. If I'm doing lots of speaking, and after my gig is done, I need time for myself to recharge the battery. I need time alone to recharge my own batteries. But extroverts, and my wife, she's an extrovert, they just like to communicate with people. They need other people to recharge their batteries. They need to be surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one major difference. Yeah.
I love that. I love that because as you said, speaking and outside, I'm an extrovert. Then when I come home, I gotta rest my body and mind, plus my arthritis and that. So my wife sees two different lives. She's like, you're the outdoor person, and then when you come home, you're just like relaxed, chilled. And I'm like, yeah, I have to do that. I have to get quiet and relax and just be myself.
But the thing is, we've been perceived in a very negative light in the business culture because of the false association with shyness. And we are not shy. Like, Tom, if I ask you, you know, if you can talk about the topic that you love, you will not be shy. You will shine from the stage because this is something that you're passionate about. This is something that you believe in. So you could talk about this for hours and hours. But if you need to go to networking event, most introverts, they don't like to go to networking events because it's expected from them to speak with 20 or 50 different people. And that's not who we are. I'd rather speak with one or two people and have a deep conversation, meaningful conversation, versus talking to 20 or 50 different people and just chit-chatting. So that's one of the difference how we communicate. If we are passionate, and we are actually introverts, bring a passion to the workplace, whatever they are doing. And I'll like to share one thing about the passion that introverts have because we would like to feel like what we are doing is meaningful. And traditional salespeople or extroverts, they cannot connect with this kind of mental connection because they see the job as sales only, as I said earlier. So there is no real connection. And where an introvert has a passion for his or her work, extroverts cannot find a good connection with clients because they can say it's too difficult, especially if you have introverts on the other side of the table. And introverts, they don't care about chit-chat or let's talk just to talk. We want to have a good, deep, meaningful conversation. So I'm not saying that introverts don't have friends, but we have less good friends than extroverts. Maybe we have 5 or 10 good friends. If we organize a birthday party or any kind of event, it's going to be just a small circle of really good friends. Extroverts, invite everybody and bring another 100 people with them.
Yes, exactly. And introvert, go to a party like myself, there may be a bunch of people, but as you say, I'd rather just, or networking event, whatever, I'd rather just talk to one or two. By the end of the night, you've built a lifelong relationship now, and, other people go around, oh, I talked to this person, and this person, and this person, and this person. Like, oh, my gosh, it's exhausting just listening to how many people they spoke to. Very important.
You know.
And now... So why is it also important to stay true? Because this is something in my life, too. I've tried to be an extrovert. But why is it important to stay true to actually who you are to be successful? Because I couldn't live as an extrovert. It is too difficult.
No, because that's not who you are. It's like introvertism and extrovertism, it's more like a preference how you do things. So, I don't know, Tom, if you're a left-handed or right-handed person.
Left-handed.
So if somebody says, you know what, Tom, from tomorrow you should be right-handed, how would that make you feel?
No way.
No way. It's weird. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
But can you write with your right hand? Probably you could write, right?
Yeah. Take a bit of time.
Would you love to do it? Probably not.
No.
So see the difference? It's the preference how we do things. And I'll give you another example. There is the definition of introvert. It's a person who likes to think before he or she speaks out. While extroverts, they like to think while they talk. So, and they talk and talk and change their opinion during the same sentence, right? And introverts, forget it. Until we don't have, we didn't collect our thoughts and find the best words and best timing, we will not speak up. I'll give you an example. I was at a meeting recently, and the manager went around the room, and he did Robin Round questions. You know, what you think about this? What you think about that? And there are a few people who didn't say much. And I actually pulled him aside and said, you know what, let's do a brain writing session instead of brainstorming session. Because extroverts have some opinion, but that's any opinion is better than the best opinion?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, if you give introverts 2, 5, 10 minutes to collect their thoughts, you'll hear amazing things. But when you're sitting around the table, and there are 15 people in a room, the loudest person wins the conversation because they just start talking. That's extroverts' nature. I'm not saying they should be quiet, but you can have people talking, discussing things, but also give time to introverts to collect their thoughts and share their input freely. That's how you enlarge the circle of communication. I'm all about enlarging the circle.
Exactly, exactly. And you're right. And then in my case, I won't speak up unless I, you know, phrase it well in my head, and I won't speak up unless it's positive. So now you're like, okay, I'll only speak positive and only when I really have a clear thought to, that's been gone through the hopper in my brain to make sure it's worthwhile saying. And so people will be like, wow, he doesn't talk very much. But by the time I leave a meeting with someone, I know all about them.
You observe. That's the thing. Yeah. We like to observe the situation before we join in. And that's why people think, oh, you are shy or you're quiet. No, I don't want to say anything. I want to collect my thoughts. Like you said, you want to make sure that you find the right words and even right timing, because if, you know, timing, if people start discussing and you didn't share your input, they move on with the conversation and your opinion is actually now it's too late to jump in. And lots of managers, lots of owners of the companies, they don't understand that some people need time to think before they speak.
Yes, exactly. And Dan Pink talks a lot about this in his book, To Sell is Human. And as you had mentioned before about the extroverts, they're the ones talking while they're thinking. In the sales meeting, they're the loudest. They're the first to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so people also assume an intelligence to these people who are first to talk and loudest to talk and most to talk. And that's not always the case. If someone's sitting there, they don't say anything all meeting. Doesn't mean they're dumb. It means that doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that the guy who's talked the whole time is the smartest either or has the best ideas.
No, maybe they didn't have the opportunity to speak up because loud people, they take all the energy all the time. And but I have a question for you and for our listeners.
Yes.
You probably heard of Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. You know Warren Buffett. Steve Wozniak.
Yes. Yes.
Larry Page.
Larry Page.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh, yes.
J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, wow.
Albert Einstein, Tom Hanks. You know what's the one thing that connects all of these people?
What's that?
They are wildly successful introverts.
Wow.
And lots of people don't know. But please.
You could add one. There was a football player I saw something about the other day, Adrian Peterson, when he was interviewed for first year or so, he wore his helmet because he was shy and introverted. He didn't like speaking in public and this kind of thing. So Tom Hanks, an introvert?
You would not believe it. Yeah, but because they love what they're doing. They shine in front of cameras like Tom Hanks and other actors. But they need their own time for themselves, like a solitary activity such as reading and writing. They enjoy time spent alone. I'm not saying all the time, but you know, you will need time to recharge your batteries, and you draw energy as an introvert from your internal world, and this world of thoughts and ideas energizes you. And sometimes too much interaction with clients in sales world, it drains introverts because they need quietness and solitude to recharge. And extroverts, they don't like to be alone because it drains them. The outside world energizes them. So I said, I named a few names simply because by recent studies, 33 to 45% of all people in the U.S. are introverts. And you never hear the word about them.
Exactly.
So we're not talking about 5% or 10%. And according to some estimates, I have to share one data with you. According to some estimates, 70% of all CEOs, they describe themselves as introverts. How is that possible?
Wow. I was thinking even before you said CEOs, what about a sales manager? Does an introvert have any chance to become a sales manager? Because now he's got to deal with all these people and these groups. Man.
I'm glad you asked because I'm writing a book now about introverts in business in general. And I'll touch base on that in one chapter, how to be a successful manager as an introvert, not just in sales, but generally managing different groups of people. But it's easier for introverts because extroverts assume we are all like them. Introverts, we like to observe things. We understand people are different. We like to read. We know how to read body language. We know how to read people's minds because that's what we do on a daily basis. And if you're a manager, it's easier for you to understand if there is a group of extroverts in your team, and I manage the extroverts. And it's a total different approach. If you need to manage extroverts, you need to approach them differently. You need to use where they shine. What's the best thing they could do? If you need to go out and find 100 new clients, extroverts will do that without any problems. They'll approach thousands of people. But introverts will, good thing is introverts will slow you down. If you need to think before you do something, if you need to adjust your approach, they'll give you input and say, well, this is what we're doing wrong. This is how we need to adjust even our message or marketing stuff or even scripts, whatever it is. So it's
right.
A balance. And because you live in Canada, you know the Canadian culture is different than American culture. And it's all about enlarging the circle. That's what I like to mention to everybody. Because in Canada, the first people who came to the continent, they were invited, or they were embraced by First Nations. And it was more like enlarging the circle. And
yes.
Still to this day, you have lots of immigrants coming to Canada, and it's all about enlarging the circle. Evolution versus revolution. South of the
yes.
border, there is more revolution than evolution. This is not working. Let's change everything and start from scratch and
yeah.
do it this way. This is extroverts type of talking.
Yeah, yeah.
See the difference
in the culture. What an
amazing
country. That's so many of our cultures. We live together. We love each other. We live in harmony. man, what a country that everyone can come in and you all of a sudden become like that. And so it's, I love it. I'm born here. So
yeah, I don't want to go into political reasoning. Just try to say that it's for many people it's easier. If you're an introvert, it's easier for you to learn about other and understand that people are different. For extroverts, I'm married for 12 years, and my wife still, when I'm quiet, she asks me, what's wrong? Nothing is wrong. I don't have nothing to say. I'm thinking about something. I'm not here mentally. She cannot understand that I don't need to talk about my feelings. I just need to process things in my head or thinking about the next book or this and that. So it's
just a
different way of communication. That's it.
Can you call my wife after, please?
Sure.
Or have your wife call my wife?
Oh, yeah. That could. If she's an extrovert, too, they would have to talk. They would talk forever. You know,
yes,
so it's
yes.
just a...
And if
it's
you're not talking, are you okay? Are you mad?
What's wrong?
Are you thinking?
Is everything okay?
What's wrong? It's like, oh, God.
You know how it is.
You interrupted my nice thinking here.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay, great. I'm not crazy after all. Very good. Very
no,
good.
You're not. And that's the thing. If you know what your strengths are as an introvert, you will be able to be successful no matter what you're doing. I'm a sales guy. That's what I'm talking to. About to salespeople, but whatever you do in your business, if you're not the most outgoing person, most friendliest person, or bold, enthusiastic, that's fine. Nothing is wrong with you. You know the posters on a wall when you come to somebody's office and the poster says, you know, whatever motivational line is there, or just do it. And that's not working with introverts. We don't need this meaning. For us, it's nothing. Like, I don't care. I'll just do it. Like, that's not the real message for me. Give me good stuff. Give me reasons. Why should I act upon it? Why should I do things? So it's a different way of communicating. It's like speaking different language. And if you don't know how to speak Spanish and you go to Spain, guess what? You have a problem to communicate with people there.
Exactly. And you talked a lot about observing people. I've bought some programs, The Power of Body Language, Joe Navarro. I bought a book, Janine Driver, Body Language, Lock to Me, Dr. Ekman, Paul Ekman. And introverts have a lot of advantage by sitting back, and you can tell a lot by watching body language of people around you. And extroverts are so busy blah, 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 blahing that they can't pay attention to who people are paying attention to and who's actually the boss in the room and who's listening and not listening and all of those important things.
No, you're right. I mean, I just want to say the positive thinking, it's not working for introverts because we don't need somebody to tell us to be positive or, you know, it's not that we don't know how to interact with people, but we don't need those little signals that things are okay because we have our own counsel, I would say, and we are comfortable with uncertainty. We know we can solve problems because we do this like 24/7 and... For people who are not like that, it's hard for them to understand. This is like a puzzle for them.
Exactly. So suppose you are a sales manager and you got a 10 guys, 20 guys, you got 35 to 40% who are introverts, yeah, the rest are extroverts. What do? You have separate meetings, you have one-on-ones with the introverts, the extroverts, you tell them just go to Tim Hortons and talk among yourself, or what do?
That's an actually amazing question. Thank you for asking. The thing is, if you have people like that, if you have introverts on a team, and probably you have, then send them agenda ahead. What will you discuss at your sales meeting? What's the topic? Send them agenda beforehand so they can prepare. We love to be prepared. Then I will find the best words, best information, or best number to share with my manager and my team.
Mm-hmm.
Then another thing would be if you go around and ask for people's opinion, give me opportunity to collect my thoughts. I want just maybe...
Mm-hmm.
We literally hate people interrupting us. So as a manager, he or she needs to make it possible for us to speak from beginning to the end. If I have a 30-second monologue, don't let extroverts interrupt my train of thoughts. You know what I'm trying to say here. We hate being interrupted, and we hate to interrupt other people, same way.
Yes,
and
yes.
The only it takes time to understand this, but don't also use hype with introvert salespeople. Lots of salespeople, they love hype language. It's amazing. It's the best in sliced bread and stuff like that. Simply because extroverts, they don't invest enough time in understanding the product or service, or even the client situation. And introverts, if you are a buyer on the other side of the table, you will spot this information that's exaggerated. And, when you know that the salesperson does not know what he or she is talking about. So we shut down the conversation. We just say, no, we need time to think about it, or some kind of other objection, and that's it. So to win an introvert's respect, either as a client or as a team member, you need to prove your credibility, but also you need to know what you're talking about.
Yes. And that's kind of different. An extrovert seems to always be closing, the ABC. Close. whereas an extrovert is letting the guy talk and explain and ask all these questions. No hype, because I think also an introvert, if he knows his client is not best suited to his product, he will have a harder time selling him than an extrovert who's there because he wants the number on the board, win the competition, make the sale, brag to his buddies, where an introvert would have a hard time. I think more introverts would say, Bob, based on what you really need, I hate to say this, but ours is not what you need. I don't think an extrovert would cross their mind to say that. I think for a customer it's better also as well. How about if you're a buyer, you're a customer, probably nicer to deal with an introvert as well, I imagine.
Well, you're totally right here, because if I cannot help you, as you're my client, if I cannot help you, I'll let you know. Sorry, this product or service is not for you. I cannot help you. But I will earn your respect by saying that. And I can come back to you 3 months later and saying, hey, Tom, you remember we had a big discussion, this and that. I know I cannot help you. Could you help me? Recommend me to 3 or 4 of your friends.
Yes.
What would be your natural reaction?
Oh, of course I will, Alan. And you know that he's going to tell them, listen, this guy told me not that I wasn't best suited for him. That's the kind of guy he is. Someone's going to sit down with someone that comes with a recommendation like that.
And, you know, the world changed so much in the last few years. Just look at since we have a Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and all the social media, and since we have a Web 2.0 out there, every buyer out there, every client out there, they can go to Google, search for a specific product, and they can learn everything about the features and benefits of specific product. So they don't need salespeople, extroverted salespeople, to walk in and shine them with the fancy things and explain the best features and this and that and try to sell. Clients are now more educated, so they don't need any more salespeople who will just, you know, talk about the product and try to close the deal. They need somebody to help them understand what are the issues, what are the potential issues down the road, what's everybody doing in the industry, and how your product can help long-term or, you know, so really working on a partnership basis, creating good relationship versus just selling something and disappearing. And that's why you have stories online where people bash salespeople because they just sold something to me. Yeah, that's old school talking. Forget about old school selling. It's not working anymore. Like a sales dinosaurs, they need to die finally. We need to move on. Every other industry moved on. And sales industry is still using tricks from 70s or 80s or, you know, it's not working anymore.
No, no, exactly. And no. So right, like people, hardly anyone ever comes in and says, I know nothing about this product. Tell me all about it. People come in and say, I read on this website, and then my buddy told me, and then I asked on Facebook for a recommendation, and then I looked up three articles, and based on that, and so now, you, as you said, you don't need to know. You know, that guy's research is probably as much as you know about it. But if you're the right type of person, you ask a few questions, you get to understand him and make sure that he is right about his choice. You know, these are all things that are personality traits more than product skills.
Yeah, it is. And it's also not just personality, knowing what questions to ask. Because still some salespeople think, I have a great personality, I'll just walk in and I'll sell, and that's all I need to know. I'm born salesperson, and that's why I'm saying you, I mean, whoever thinks he or she's a born salesperson, this person is probably an extrovert. And I know lots of introverts from a sales training point of view, sales authors who are introverts, who dedicate their time to understand where the sales industry is going, who are on top of the things, who write books about it, not to promote themselves, but to share the knowledge and to grow and to build on top of the other people who came before them. I'm not saying that all techniques are not working. They just, they didn't evolve. We need to build on that and evolve and, you know, speak with clients like to see if we can help them and finding their criteria. What's the criteria to buy versus just pushing information towards them. It's pulling people into the conversation. Pull, don't push.
Exactly. And now also, I would think if you are a sales manager and you have introverts that are on your sales team, I would be excited because an introvert probably can't stay or can't stay at the company, can't stay selling that product. Probably an introvert has a hard time building a long-term career with something that they really do not believe in. They probably need to get out of there or may not do well. And so if you know you have a number of introverts and they've been there, you know, enough time that they decided and committed, you should handle them really well because they don't sit there to take up space and compete on a board. They sit there because they've made a decision that they like the company, the product, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's all about the perception. Like people are saying, oh, you know, Steve Jobs and Apple, and it's so amazing, and, you know, stuff about Apple in general. But guess what? Who was the co-founder of Apple? Steve Wozniak. And he was the introvert. So you need, it's like a yin and yang, you know, you need to balance it. I'm not saying one is better than the other. But unfortunately, today's environment, it's all about extroverts and, you know, we are not loud enough to out-loud them, to be louder than extroverts. First of all, we are not thinking about why should I be louder than somebody. If I have something to share, I'll share. If you don't hear my voice, well, unfortunately, that's the problem. But more and more in recent months and years, you see more books about introverts coming out. People talk more about it. Extroverts actually realize they should start learning about the differences. Maybe they will not accept it, but they, at least they acknowledge there is a difference. We don't need to be like a Steve Jobs, or we don't need to be an extroverted salesperson or extroverted business person like everybody else is. we can send a message out. Maybe it's not the most polished, maybe it's not the best message, you know, in terms of presentation, but the energy mm-hmm. and the passion and the ear that we are lending to other people, that's all the part of strength that we have. And we should be honored that we have such a strength that we can bring to the table to help companies to grow and to help people to grow as a person, their personality.
Exactly, exactly. And I would think also that introverts would probably be good at sales where there's continuing relationship. It's not just a one, sell you one, see you later. It's something of an ongoing nature, maybe a financial product where every year you're talking with them, reviewing, and those type of relationships where they're ongoing, because I think an introvert will put a lot of attention on that, will really come to know the person well, mm-hmm. And those are nice relationships, as you said. An introvert may have mm-hmm. fewer of those, but they're deeper, longer. You can rely on that salesperson. He won't lie to you. He won't steer you wrong. And, you know, my dad was in sales his whole life, and he won a lot of business. Just, you know, good guy. He wouldn't lie to you. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, always tell the truth. And you can go a lot that way. And so an introvert really would have a good career if they find something where they can continue mm-hmm. to build a relationship with someone rather than just sell them at one time. I forget, what would you sell one time? Maybe a 747 or something.
But still, it's, I have to share one story with you, Tom. You are so true.
Yes.
You are right on. You know, we are hitting a bull mark here. The thing is, I spoke last month. I spoke with a company from Austria in Europe, and the CEO of the company is a guy whom I sold the bulldozer 15 years ago, or even more. And he remembered my name. He remembered actually what we did and how we closed the deal. And he asked me, next time when I'm in the area, just come and we're going to have a drink or two. So it's just feeling that I had after the conversation like that. It's just, I know I'm doing good things. I never cheated or lied or misled my clients. And I'm, I can walk tall and I stand behind my work 15, 20 years later. And that's the difference because we introverts, we are calm in the storm in terms of there is no emotional push, no aggression, no hard sell. We provide the fact. We understand the clients. And we try to offer a viable or practical solution. So this kind of discussion, it's away from questioning my honesty and back to focus on the product or service. And I have more chance to close the deal versus, you know, just pushing things and talking and out-clevering clients at that moment. Exactly. And it bites us back as salespeople. And that is, you know, if you probably met bad salespeople, but it does not mean that every salesperson is not a good person. It's like meeting a bad doctor and saying the whole medicine is wrong.
Yeah. No, it's not true that most of them is good, but you certainly have the odd one. I think of Jim Rohn. I love Jim Rohn. He used to say, you take an idiot and you motivate him, and all you just have is now a motivated idiot.
That's a great quote, though.
So, yeah, there are salespeople like that out there. Now, I was thinking, you know, even if you had been selling something when you met that bulldozer guy that he could have used, that guy would have bought from you just from your reputation from 15 years ago selling a bulldozer. He might have been selling something totally different, but whatever you were selling, he would have at least given you the time of day to tell him about it.
I was actually, this summer I was in Europe doing a few trainings, and I went to Croatia, where I started my selling career, and I met a guy who was the owner of a computer hardware chain. Like, he had the 7 different stores of a computer hardware, and we worked then together. He asked me what he needs to do to hire me to run his business. And I said, well, you know what, I'm in Toronto in Canada, so it's really hard to run the business from. I'll pay for your moving for you to move back. I said, no, I mean, it's not about me. Again, I want to remove myself from the conversation. It's about the work I did before and my responsibility and my relationship I built with people, not, again, because I'm the most pleasant or the best, most lovable person in the world, but because my work ethic, the way I approach clients, and honoring the relationship, honoring the deals, that's what sticks with people. It's so rare these days that people, like on my business cards, I only have a handshake. That's it, because I believe in handshake. If we can shake our hands and if we can confirm the deal that way, does not matter what kind of contact we have. If you don't honor that, forget it. Nothing
forget
is
it.
Worth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not worth the money to deal with someone.
No, it's not worth energy, money, everything else.
Yeah.
Lawyers. I mean,
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so this is how we earn respect, because we never brag or we are not rude towards others. And extroverts, I've witnessed many of them, they generate a reputation, being loud, obnoxious, rude even towards secretaries. And we generally tend to respect everybody, not just the owner of the company or C-level executives, but even as gatekeepers or secretaries. And this is how we can win meetings and, you know, that where other people cannot.
Exactly, exactly. I was going to present to a board of directors a few months ago, and there was a lady outside, so I opened the door, and then I let her in the elevator first, and then I go off to go to the washroom on the floor where I'm supposed to go. And as I go into my meeting, who is this lady that I was so nice to, opening doors, let her in the elevator, all these things, was one of the board of directors. And I had no idea.
Wow.
I hadn't met them before, so I didn't know who it was. But, you know, if you do those nice things, you're good to people. People know when you're putting it on. If you have to put it on, then it's not real. People know when it's an honest, that's who the person is. And can I suggest your next book, please? Can you write a book on introvert, extrovert, husband, and wives? Because that could help a lot of marriages as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you'd have to write two. You'd have to write one, extroverted wife, introverted husband, and then you'd have to reverse it as well, introverted wife, extroverted husband. Find someone to write that one.
Have you ever interviewed an extrovert? You probably did.
Oh, yes.
So if you let them talk, my God, you know, they have so many things to share, so many opinions, and so many different angles. But at the end, they change their opinion many times if they're brainstorming, stuff like that. And if I would interview my wife, I bet we will have 10 hours of material to go through just after a day or two interviewing. But it's not, I'm not saying, you know, nothing against the people who like to talk. Generally, I and lots of introverts, we need to process information. We need to stop and think and then share it with the world. And this is a big difference. I mean, preparation for this interview, the interviews like that, there's always a lot of preparation. Although I'm passionate about what I'm talking about, I want to be prepared. I want to be able to handle any possible questions, because that's who I am, not me. Just it's my introvert side.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Whereas an extrovert sometimes will be, I know this like the back of my hand. I'm just going to jump in here. No problem at all.
Let's wing it, right? That's what sales people are doing on cold calls. And that's why you have books, Cold Calling Sucks. Because, people think you can just wing it. You walk in or you just call somebody and then you say first thing comes to your mind. Versus introvert structure, where you have a structure and you know exactly why you're asking certain questions, where it takes you. It's like playing chess. You know, you plan for 7 moves ahead. And, you know, if client says this, I'll go this way. If he says something else, I'll go that way. You know, so it's preparation. And extroverts, they don't invest enough time to do that.
Exactly. And I love how the economy is turning into, for at least buying and selling now, it's more of a, push-pull, where, you're not forcing people. Now people are more, the internet and everything online allows people to be warm prospects. So when they come to you, they've investigated you, they've checked you out, asked some people. And so now that really does help people when you're in that kind of economy, as opposed to just, you know, pound out 100 phone calls. Now you're getting people who say, gee, I like this, what you're doing. Somebody told me about you. You've been in the same industry, blah, blah, blah. And now you built that reputation. And so,
it's a long-term
it's nice
business.
To be like long-term business, and you're not having to cold call or necessarily force sales down people's throats if they're not ready yet. And not ready now doesn't mean not ready ever.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right target, because the world changed and we need to change. And I cannot just start talking, selling something to you because you know probably more about the product than I do. And you read all the websites and competition and Yelp and this and that. And you are prepared as a client. You know that. And I cannot just say, oh, we are the best. Based on what? Well, guess what? Review said that you're number three or number four. Well, you know, they're lying or misleading or stuff. No. That's not having intelligent conversation. That's just having any kind of conversation. If you want to lead an intelligent conversation with your clients, well, guess what? You need to turn the focus on them. Why would they like to do certain things? Why the? I'm in sales training. I'm asking people, what's your previous experience with sales training? Who was training you? How did they do? What are the results? How did you track certain things? I want to know all the history before we even talk about present and future.
Right.
And if I feel, and keyword here is if I feel I can help them to grow the business, I'll start, you know, talking more about how we can help today and what can we implement. If I feel they don't understand what they need to do and they just expect I'll walk in and talk for 3 or 6 hours and their sales will skyrocket, no, it will not happen. But still some people sell it that way. And then you have disappointed clients. And they say, oh, all sales trainers are the same or all car salespeople are the same. No.
No, exactly. I had, blogging. Would introverts be any more or less great at blogging? I love blogging, and I get, last month, 138 countries visit my website. So pretty cool when I sit here in my home office writing a blog that people in a country that I don't even know exists are reading my website. But I love this. I prefer website work and expressing my thoughts that way than speaking. But
yes,
I get paid more for the speaking part.
No, Tom, you are again. You're right on target, because blogging is the perfect thing for introvert people to express themselves. And we like reading. And I mean, if you ask introverts, you know, how do they see Friday night? Oh, some of them, most of them, they will say, good book, glass of wine, life is good. They don't need 20 different people to be surrounded with. You know, so we prefer this kind of activities, reading, writing. And the thing is, every information that we gather from outside sources, we are not accepting it immediately. If you say sky is yellow, I will not accept it. I need to compare every information that I receive with what I already know about the topic and then where it fits in the big picture, so to say. And then we have our own opinion, and that's what we like to share. So blogging, it's the perfect thing. Another thing is, actually, if you want to reach out to introverts and try to sell something to them, try to send them an email versus a phone call, because we hate talking to strangers.
Yes. So
if you call me, probably you'll get somebody else, my secretary or my voicemail.
Yeah.
But if you send me email and suggest a few things and give me a real information, not just, hey, Alan, you're a sales trainer, let's connect, I have a few ideas for you. My reply would be, what kind of ideas you have? And then we will discuss. You know, it's not, I'm not trying to be rude towards somebody, but I will not invest my time if I don't know what's this all about. So, you know, and this is the best way for salespeople to reach out to introverts they cannot usually reach. You call people, you always get a voicemail. Guess what? Send them an email. But I like to talk to people. Yeah, that's what you like. But other people don't like I don't like to speak with strangers. You know?
I
want to, you know what I'm talking about. So,
I've almost
changed
cut it out of my life. You can't reach me on a cold call. It has to be a scheduled call. And, I like emails, too. And I would say, Alan, that not only introverts send an email to introverts, but I think extroverts like them, too, because they probably like to seem busy all the time, no matter where they are. They're checking their email. And so a good way to reach them, but also a good way to reach an introvert, because, I'm not talking to you on the phone unless I know why.
I don't know you. Why? Who you are. You know,
people
just
send me a message on LinkedIn. Can you help me with this? Or, you know, can you do this for my book or that? It's just out of the blue. I don't know them from Adam.
So earn my trust. That's the message here.
Earn it.
And it's unfortunate that many salespeople think they will send one email to the potential client, and they don't respond. Oh, my God, they are rude. They don't want to respond. Guess what? I'm testing you. If you're really persistent, if you send me two emails or three emails or mix it with a phone call, then I know you are really persistent. You really want to help me. If you just call me once, I'll maybe reply to you or not. Or, you know, so it's,
exactly.
We are all so busy with our lives that we don't want to waste time on things that are not so important. And if you don't show me the value, guess what? I will not invest 5 or 10 minutes of my time to speak with you. Although extroverts try always to take this time from me. It's like I have in my day, I have 3-4 hours to talk with people. And guess what? I want to dedicate this time to people where I can get the best investment for my time, not just to talk with people in general. Extroverts, they like to talk. They'll call anybody and talk and try to book an appointment just to talk and talk and talk. Guess what? No.
Exactly. And just because you don't reply to an email doesn't mean that you're not evaluating them. Was the content of that email good? Is it worth opening the next email? And then, as you said, if you and my pattern is email, voicemail, email. I prefer voicemail, too, because rather than getting a guy live, I'm disappointed when I get a guy live on the phone when I'm calling them, because I could leave them precise direction, instructions, and details in a short voicemail without all the chit-chat. And so I'm disappointed when I reach people. But just people remember, if you email someone one time, they don't reply, as you had said, they are still probably evaluating. Was that a good email? Should I read the next one, open the next one from this guy? And then, if you mix it up. But that's a great way to reach people, extroverts or introverts, for sure.
Yeah. And it's we all have fears, right? And introverts, our fear is of talking or interacting with new people. This is a commonplace concern among many introverts. And it's just simply we try, even if I'm a salesperson, if I need to reach out to find new clients, I'll find different ways or scenarios where I will use my previous contacts or try to warm up the call through the email at least versus just picking up the phone and dial 100 numbers and, hey, this is Alan from ABC Company. We have the best product and let's talk. And no, this is not working for introverts. But there is a way that they can, you know, do cold calls. It's not that they're not cut for cold calls. They can do it, but in a different way. So just give them opportunity to express themselves differently.
And give me a time to think about the best way to find that targeted list to, and something to talk to them about
research.
Or someone that I worked with that they know. And I can book more or get more out of 20 calls than that guy who's making 100 because he gave me time to think about how am I going to approach him, what am I going to say, who does he know, what's he's involved in, and all those other things. Whereas an extrovert, he doesn't even research them, just pick up the phone.
No.
Hey, Alan, it's me. How are you? I need to tell you something. How are you? What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Let's meet somewhere. Yeah, they don't need to research you at all.
It's a, just so, a different
we're giving
way of
We're giving introverts a bad name here. I scheduled 45 minutes, and we're at an hour. And before the show, you said, you know, I could go on forever about this. And now you got two introverts talking forever about how great it is to be salespeople when you're an introvert.
We are passionate. That's the thing. If we are passionate, we like to talk about things that we are passionate. That's introvert stuff. But if you start talking now about the topics that are not related to this, it will be difficult for us because that's not where we shine. Like a chit-chat and small talk, that's not where we shine, especially with strangers. So, but when you talk about something that we are passionate about, oh, my God. Like I witnessed many introverts talking from the stage, and you would never guess they're introverts. They just exploded. But this is a topic they love. They own.
Exactly. They own
like
it.
You know,
they own
you
it.
Do.
They love it.
Yeah.
But after this hour talk, now I'm going to have to go and rest. It's 8 o'clock at night our time. And so my wife, I got to get you to call my wife and remind her how introverts are. So thanks so much, Alan. This is a great, great topic. Selling and introverts. Wow, what a fascinating topic. We're going to have you on again. Because this is a pretty cool topic, obviously close to my heart as well, and close to both of our hearts. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have yourself an amazing evening, and thanks for sharing your time with us today.
Tom, thank you for everything. Thank you for having me here tonight.
Take care.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.